Let us pray. Eternal God, who art giving and forgiving, forgive our sins, we pray, and give us the forgiving Spirit. Teach us how to love each other, to rejoice in Thee, and to participate in the needful work of the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The subject of our meditation is reflective action. I think the most influential social scientist I have known personally set forth two guidelines. No action without research. No research without action. In a thoughtful book entitled A Nation of Strangers, Mr. Vance Packard recently identified forces that are fragmenting families and communities, breaking ties between friends and neighbors, creating greater distances between people, and making, as he says, the United States a nation of strangers. He thinks it is important for us to explore ways to reduce the fragmentation and to recover a sense of community, of continuity, and of compassion. He shares the conviction of Robert S. Weiss of the Department of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School, who has studied the lives of uprooted people, that five kinds of relationship are essential to a sense of well-being in American culture. First, the nurture of children by parents. Every child needs two parents, a father and a mother. And he needs two parents from the beginning of his life. Two, the development of shared concerns by people who are seriously trying to cope with common problems or to achieve similar objectives. Three, the assurance of helpfulness in emergencies. In the study of helpfulness in emergencies, he raises two interesting questions. Do you know a local doctor who would feel personal concern if you became seriously ill? In this community, we can answer this question affirmatively. It cannot be answered affirmatively in all communities. It cannot be answered affirmatively in all of the communities in which I have lived. If you had an emergency after 10 o'clock at night, how many people in this town, if called, would be glad to assist you? Many people have a sense of self-sufficiency in technological civilization. But at the time of emergency, most people like to know some people who would respond if called after 10 o'clock at night. Sir Thomas More was a great scholar, and I think a great Christian. He had a strong sense of self-sufficiency, a capacity for reflection, and a capacity for action, and an ability to count the cost of reflective action. on the day of his execution, when he came to the scaffold, he requested the lieutenant to assist him up the steps. But he quickly added, "Coming down, I'll shift for myself." Most of the time, most people have enough resources to shift for themselves. But there are those hours, and for most of us, those days, when we need somebody to assist us up the steps. For the formation of durable friendships with accessible and trustworthy persons Mr. Packard raises the question, how many trustworthy friends do you have within 5 miles of your residence? Now, perhaps the geographical factor is overemphasized in this question. But people like Woodrow Wilson and Bliss Perry, who with their wives had the Sunday evening meal together each week for years, developed a capacity for reflection. And they knew how to relate reflection to action in this nation, in great universities, and in the world. And 5, the knowledge of people who respect individual competence in the performance of faithful work. We have a tremendous amount of shoddy work. For which there is inadequate excuse. We also have inadequate recognition of the competence of faithful people in the ordinary work of the world. Let me call attention to 3 biblical insights vitally related to interpersonal relations essential to a sense of well-being in a fragmented society. The lesson is in verses 8 and 9 of the 4th chapter of Philippians. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you. In this one paragraph, we have 3 profound statements about reflection and action. And perhaps it is well for us to remember that the contemporary dialogue about reflection and action is not really a brand new dialogue. It has been underway a long time. And it is tremendously important in the life of a man or a woman or a group. We have, first of all, here a plea for clear ethical perception and reflection in the perspective of standards, of criteria. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, here are moral standards by which reflection and action are guided. This passage was a favorite passage in the thinking and writing of John Woolman. 200 years ago this month, John Woolman died far from home on a mission in the interest of people, some of whom ridiculed him, people about whom he had a deep personal concern. Last year, the Oxford Press published, I'm glad to say, a new edition of the journal of John Woolman. I reread last night an earlier, cheaper edition of his journal. I think John Woolman's journal is probably one of 10 or 12 primary documents for a real understanding of the Christian life in American culture. In him there was almost complete absence of arrogance and self-righteousness. He was very attentive to the Spirit of God. He was ready to lay down his life for a cause. Such as the abolition of slavery, the repudiation of war as a method of resolving conflict, the care of people in distress. He guided his reflection by three questions. Is it true? Is it just? Is it the loving thing to do? Think on these things. And those of you who know this Greek word translated think understand that it means more than we normally mean when we say think. It means use your mind. It also means make all of your calculations. Form all of your conclusions. In the perspective of what is true and just and honorable and loving and gracious. That's reflection. That's the appeal for ethical perception and reflection in the perspective of standards of behavior. In the second place, we have in this paragraph a clear call to creative, constructive action. What you have learned, what you have received, primarily through the process of instruction, what you have heard, what you have seen in me, these things do. There is emphasis now, as you know, upon what is called analysis of the goals of performance. And I think this is a very valuable part of the process of reflection. What are our goals? What are our objectives? And then, in order that our thinking may not become fuzzy, we ask the additional question, what are the specific performances we are to undertake in the achievement of these objectives? Dr. Raymond E. Brown, who was lecturing here last week, has written recently a little book on Christian ministry entitled Priests and Bishops. He presents at one point in that book a very intriguing analysis of some of Paul's performances as a clue to an understanding of his ministry. One of them is the service of the collection. He says that Paul invested a great deal of time and energy in raising money. It's a difficult task. Now, it isn't easy to beg. Some of us know. We've been at it for years. Apparently, Paul was interested in it. A considerable amount of attention to the collection in the writings of Paul. Not for himself, but for the saints at Jerusalem. That was a part of his performance as a Christian minister. He was raising money for a cause, and he wasn't ashamed of that task. Another performance was what Professor Brown called participation in ordinary work. He was ready to use his hand in hard work in order that he might not be a burden upon others and in order that they might know that he was not seeking what they might give to him. He was seeking the enrichment of their soul. another specific performance in the ministry of Paul was prayer. Now, this is not a matter of indifference. If there is to be true reflection, and if there is to be a dynamic relation of reflection to action, he prayed for people. Many years ago, I went through all the writings of Paul in the New Testament and made a list of the persons named in his writings. I was astonished at the length of the list. Persons whom he knew, whom he trusted, whom he loved, for whom he cared, whose potentiality meant something to him, whose sufferings were felt by him. He prayed for them. That was a part of his ministry. And also he carried on a performance of correction, as Raymond E. Brown says. Now this is a difficult task. This is a specific relation of reflection to action. It is exceptionally difficult to carry on a Christian ministry of correction without being misunderstood, without making grievous errors, without hurting persons, without creating a mood of discouragement, without provoking strong resentment. Paul stirred up some resentment, all right, with his corrections of people. But he knew enough about the standards of Christian behavior, and he knew enough about the behavior of young Christians to discern the disparity between the two. And to say quite frankly, this is not the Christian thing to do. Now this is a part, is it not, of the Christian ministry in our time. And it will call for the clearest type of reflection and the most delicate and at the same time the most heroic kind of action. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. These things do. Think about these things do. The third item is a promise. It's a very simple promise. It's a very profound promise. The God of peace will be with you. John Bailey has a book on the presence of God. I think it's worth reading. He knows something about reflection. He knows something about action. he knows something about the interrelation of reflection and action, and he knows something about the presence of God. Matthew began a book, if he did, with the word Emmanuel, God with us. And he came to the end with a statement, that the risen Lord is with us all the days, the good days, the bad days, the easy days, the hard days, all the days, he is with us. And if we are to have the intellectual strength and the courage to carry on reflection and to relate it to action, we do well to learn what John Woolman learned. We have to stay close to the source of insight and strength and understand that God is with us. Let us pray. Send us to our tasks this day, O God, with an understanding that we live within the sound of thy voice and work under the guidance of thy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.